All right. Hello again. I'm Brandon. I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for having me. Because I'm the last speaker, there's really not much after this. I have unlimited time to talk. I kid. I kid. I'm exhausted, and I'm probably going to shorten up what I wanted to talk about. But I want to start with a couple different things. Number one, I need to adjust what I said this morning because I have been abstinent 4 months, nine, no, 4 years, 9 months, and 10 days. I think I told you 4 years and 10 months. And I over 100 pounds since I've come into program. And all of this is important because I started off by saying, I'm Brandon, I am a compulsive overeater. I remind myself of that every day because a fellow who I'm going to see at my local meeting on Wednesday, this was years ago, told this story, and this will be a nice play on words that you'll laugh at in a second. It's burned into my head because he said, being a compulsive overeater is it's like an old oven that is just raging on fire, really hot, can't get near it, can't touch it. And he said, but as you start working the program, the heat comes down, the fire starts to dissipate, and eventually that stove is cold to the touch. Great, right? There's a pilot light underneath there, and that bad boy can erupt at any second. That is your disease. And I went, whoa, okay, all right. So what are you saying? And he said to everyone, it means you work the program, you work the steps, you keep coming back to meetings, you get sponsees, you get a sponsor, you do everything that you're supposed to do, and that pilot light will just sit there comfortably. And I was like, damn, all right, okay, I think I got this. And it only took me 45 years because my age starts with the number 5, and at about the age of 5 is my first memory of stealing food and going upstairs and eating it. And I could sit here for the next, I don't know how many hours, and tell you stories about eating and what I did and so on and so forth. It's not important. Please believe me that I was a compulsive overeater at the age of 5, and I still am today. And you know, the number of things that happened to me as a result of this disease is it's shocking to me because now I can clear-headed look back and go, holy cow, yeah, at the age of 5 I was doing that, and I was doing it at the age of 7 and 9. No wonder why I sucked at sports when I was 10 and 11. And I mean, it didn't end the impact that being a compulsive overeater had on me. And when I say that I've lost over 100 pounds, that's because I stand before you. I'm a smidge under 6 foot, but I weigh 188, 189 pounds now. The highest known weight that I had was 326. Known. I think everybody in this room probably will understand what I mean when I didn't want to weigh myself at any point. What else didn't I want to do? Get my picture taken. Shop for clothes. And oh, speaking of clothes, one of the things that I heard somebody else mention in a meeting, I was like, oh, they get it. I only wore cotton. Anybody know why? Especially shirts. Because can I stretch this right now? No. But a cotton shirt? Oh, I put my arms inside there, go like this, and that thing will stretch out and it'll fit me and it'll be all right. And then I could actually put it in the dryer. No, I don't like putting it in the dryer because my clothes get smaller. I didn't get smaller, but my clothes did. I hated that. You know, this was my life before OA, and man, did I hate it. And you know, it's not just food and clothes and so on, but there's been some fantastic speakers today, and they've touched on some different things. And you know, somebody was dancing around that one. You know, the mental emotional toll that it takes. You know, not just because of me, but because of, and I'm, yeah, all right. Kids can be cruel, and they can be really cruel, especially when you're 12, 13 years old, and you're 50, 60. I don't even know how many pounds overweight, but I don't think I've ever told this in a room this size, let alone in a big meeting, but I know that it's going to help me release something emotionally and mentally. But my name is Brandon W. My initials are BW. And when I was in 7th grade, the kid sitting behind me in class, long story short, said, you know what else is BW? Beached whale. That's you. You're a beached whale. And then by lunch, every kid in school was calling me beached whale because I was a big kid, you know, in seventh and eighth grade. You know what I did to that kid who came up with that nickname? Nothing. I went home and ate, and, you know, I just, no. I didn't stand up for myself. I didn't, not in seventh grade, and not up until recently, because of this disease, I'm afraid of so many things. I'm afraid to ask for a raise. I'm afraid to ask a woman out. I'm afraid to cut into traffic or break the rules or, yeah, no. But I wasn't afraid to stay home and isolate and so on. So what did I do? Was it the gout, the high blood pressure, all the medications I was on, the Darth Vader sleep apnea mask? Was that what brought me to OA? No. I was just tired one day, and I couldn't take it. And so I started talking to a therapist, and it was like the fourth or fifth session. And, man, you want to talk about higher power? Long story short, my therapist was the member of not one, not two, but three 12-step programs and said, Go to OA. That's the first place you need to start. And I was like, okay. And the best part was she had all this experience with all these programs. And she said, this is all you got to do. Just slide into, you know, a side door, sit in back. You won't have to do much. You don't have to say much. Maybe say your name. Just go. Okay. No one will know you're there. Okay. So I go. I walk in the front door of this building. It's a community building. The first thing you have to check in, what are you here for? I thought nobody was here. OA. And so then I go wandering around trying to find this room, and I get to the door of the room, and this big guy, and when I say big guy, I'm not talking about wide. I'm talking like he's 6'7". He's in there and he goes, hey, you here for OA? Yeah, come on in. And I walk in expecting to see, and there's no one else there. And then finally, thank goodness, this one other person walked in. So there's three of us now. How do I sit in the back? The reason I tell you this is that saved my life. And I remind her of this every year. The woman that walked in to that meeting, Karen, she grabbed me at the end. And Roger, and I still see both of them in meetings all the time. And Karen said, look, this is what you got to do. This is your first meeting, first day? Yeah, all right, here's what you got to do. You need to keep going to meetings. And then every meeting you go to, your only responsibility is to walk out of there with one thing that you've learned, something new. That's it. You know, if you zone out for 40 minutes, cool. Find one thing that is going to be useful and helpful for you, and then go to another meeting and do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. And I was like, okay. And she goes, but then maybe try to adopt something new each week. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, what? You're not going to go through a drive-through, or every meal you eat is going to be something that you do. And she gave me like five or six different things. So I did them all that week because I'm compulsive. I'm an addict, right? That changed my life. And now, I know I'm running out of time here, but now it's amazing the way I used to be versus now. Holy turkeys. There's a ton of turkeys out there. Wow. I'm that guy. Instead of squirrel, it's turkeys. Turkey. But the topic is spiritual and a new way of living. And a new way of living comes from one of my favorite pieces of literature amongst many others. If any of you know the OA Invitation to You, that hit me like massive very early on in program. And the words that precede that are, became active on life rather than reactive, in essence found a new way of living. And that's what I've done with this program. And that's what I do now, because I'm no longer 300 pounds. I'm under 200 pounds. I don't lay on the couch watching TV because I don't watch TV. I don't go out to restaurants, and I don't go to drive-thrus, and I don't eat things that come out of bags that are soft and gooey and so on. No, because I make all of my meals, and I pretty much eat at home, and I do travel with food, and I do so many different things. And, you know, I've since OA, I've run four marathons and I'm going into my fifth. And no, I'm not an exercise bulimic for anyone that wants to judge me on that. I started walking, but that is my spiritual practice, man, is running. I feel so much better, but I also, I don't wake up hungover. Guess what I did this morning? I woke up and I journaled and then I meditated and then I made sure that I was ready for the day. And 5 years ago, four years, nine days ago, I wouldn't have done that. You know, that would have been like, what do you mean you pack your own food and you're getting up early and I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night most days? I mean, you know, not watch TV. When people ask me, dude, how'd you lose so much weight? I'm like, you know, a whole lot of stuff. Like what? And I'm like, I pretty much changed my life. And they're like, and they're like what? And I say, I stopped watching TV. And then that's usually when they walk away. So I will walk away. Thank you all.